Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 103, recorded on Friday, 22nd of June, 2012, making social connections at a Dublin hotel. What do you get when an Englishman, an Englishwoman, an American, a Welshman and a Dutch lady walk into a bar? Giggles, that's for sure, but also some very illuminating discussion on matters of social business, IBM connections, user groups and even Microsoft Surface. All this and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Well, hello, good evening and welcome to This Week in Lotus. We are here at 12:30, not a good time to be recording a podcast, sat in a hotel in the middle of Dublin.
I am joined by Sharon Bellamy.
So Sharon, tell me why you're in Dublin.
We're here because it's social connections tomorrow, actually today.
Yeah, in about 8 hours' time, I think.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to about Social Connections 3?
All of it, to be honest.
Okay, any particular sessions or events you really fancy?
I think John Scott's session is going to be awesome because he's going to do some stuff about social and videos.
Okay. And on that topic, let's speak to John Scott. John Scott's from Cardiff University, been on Twill before, a couple of weeks ago. So, John, what are you presenting on?
Hello. I'm actually presenting with Simon Vaughan. And we're gonna give both sides of the story, which is essentially the social business aspects of education, and then the student side of what's going on, the reality of what's happening, and how we can merge them together to come up with some solutions for how we can really kind of take advantage of social apps like Connections to improve on social business and the way we use social tools in education.
Awesome, that sounds good. It sounds like a lot to pack into half an hour.
Yes.
Talking quickly.
Let's have another twirl after the conference, shall we?
Okay, now you know, you're quite well known to be somebody who's kind of outside the bubble, if you like. You're not from the traditional Notes and Domino, Lotus kind of community. How have you found being involved in user groups? Has it been something good to get involved in?
Well, being involved in Social Connections too was the first thing that kind of threw me into the deep end of what social business actually really was in the first place. You learn so much from the talks that are going on, just the conversations that you have from meeting people there, the connections that you make afterwards, and you know, being involved in it as it's continuing, I've learned a lot, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where it's going. It's good learning curve.
Awesome. And I know you've also been involved in the videoing tomorrow.
It's myself and Hugh Caddy, who's a freelance.
Yay for Hugh,
filmographer. So finally, Social Connections is going to get the digital treatment it requires, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the result.
Awesome. We're not streaming this year, but we're definitely recording, and we'll be publicising all those presentations next week.
No.
And joined by Mr. IBM champion, Mr. Simon Vaughan.
Good evening or good morning, whatever it is.
Yeah, so you're obviously presenting with John tomorrow, but you've also been involved in organising social connections, haven't you? So
I have.
Tell us what's involved in organising a user group event. Is there lots of stuff to be done?
There's lots of stuff to be done, but there's also lots of good interaction with some good people at very late hours over many, many days, over many, many time zones as well, but it's all worthwhile because it's more about what social is as well, getting together, meeting people in person and pushing the boundaries of how we collaborate, and it's a good experience.
Okay, and something I know we've spoken to you before about, and I think we'll get mentioned tomorrow as well, is the Connections Users community that's on Greenhouse. So do you want to tell people what that's all about?
Yes, another big push for it, because as well as using the community, which is on LinkedIn, which is a good resource, what we've been doing is getting Connections users to come into the Connections community within Greenhouse and actually collaborate and ask the guys who are developing the product exactly what they'd like to see in the future, because really it's up to us users to try to push the boundaries and really try to influence what's going to be coming in the future, because one of the things that we want to do is to see a product which meets the user needs and not meets what the techies really would like to see.
From social connections to my experience of what the previous versions of connections were, I put something in the ideation blog in Greenhouse. 6 months later, I keep getting votes in my email about it. And I think it's been graduated into beta 4, which is really nice to see. And I think it's all about getting as many people as we can into that zone to actually provide that feedback.
But it's also as well about connecting with the product managers. So people such as Luis Benitez is active in there. He pushes this through Twitter. He also pushes it through actually answering the posts inside of Greenhouse. Suzanne as well. Suzanne is quite active in there. Van is active in there. And also Matt Garrida is active in there. Garrida, sorry, I can't. But these guys really coming in and playing a big role also helps, and it also helps us users see that the things that we're putting in there has an effect and also comes into life with future versions of products. So all in all, get in there. If you're not in there already, please join the community in Greenhouse and start contributing.
Awesome. And I was in a session today at Dublin before Social Connections kicks off, and speaking to Mike Roach, who mentioned the community again and said how important that is to the whole process, and also joined by Lisa Duke, another IBM champion. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, This Week in Lotus, and Stuart.
Hello. So you're over from Atlanta. So what brings you all these 3,000 miles to be part of this?
A plane.
Thanks for that.
Here to help.
Okay, and you're presenting tomorrow as well, I think.
Yep, Sharon Bellamy and I are going to be presenting on user adoption. Okay. And of course, Michael Sampson is the international expert on the topic, but we are going to do our best to present on it in his absence. Because as we all know, it's important to get the product up and running and installed and working from a technical perspective. But if a server's up in the closet and no one uses it, does it really matter? Sort of that whole if a tree falls in the woods thing. So we're going to really talk about how to get users excited about connections, get them using it, talk about some real-world examples and some best practices. So I'm really looking forward to that session. It could be great.
Sounds good. And, you know, user adoption seems to come up every time you speak to somebody about social business. Mm-hmm. Seems to be the natural question. We were chatting to some customers earlier on, and that was their first question as well, in terms of how you go about it. And do you think that's as much of a challenge as it was, say, 12 months ago? Or do you think there's more knowledge out there in terms of how you formulate those strategies to get that problem solved?
I think there is more knowledge, and certainly there's some customers that are early in the process, and for those that are willing to share, we can learn from their examples. I know Kara Francis from US Bank and I are hoping to present at MWLUG in Pittsburgh in August on that topic. Okay. And I know Sharon, when she was a customer at City University of London, had some great experiences. So the more we can get customers to step up and talk about it, and also partners that have been through that to share their experiences, the more the whole community learns.
Sounds good. And Sharon, sort of, you know, how have you found the last few months in terms of dealing with connections customers and dealing with issues around adoption?
I've actually found that it's got a lot easier. A lot of my customers have been a lot more mature in their path to user adoption compared to what they were 12 months ago. There's been a lot of whiteboarding and thinking about how they're going to use the product as opposed to just putting it in and hoping people will use it. So generally, I think it's got a lot easier. But I think that all the publicity around why Connections is beneficial has helped.
I bet. And of course, there was the study that came out this week as well from IDC in terms of how Connections is doing against your position, which seemed to be really good news about Connections.
Yeah,
so it's the market leader and has probably twice the penetration that the Jive does.
Absolutely. It's really come out as a market leader. But one thing I was going to mention, kind of going back to the user adoption topic, is I think people forget it's really been probably about 15 years since we've changed the desktop. If you think about the tools that I was using when I first came into the workforce, it was Word, Excel, PowerPoint, or tools that do what those tools do from another vendor. That email, that's really what people are accustomed to using. And when I first started in the workforce, we trained people on how to use those products. And if you think about notes applications, when we were rolling out New Notes applications, we used to actually train people on how to use them. And really, I think user adoption is just today's version of training. We have to kind of stop and think about, you know, for 15 years, people have been in the habit of working a certain way. And now that you have new tools, you really do need to go out and explain to people how the tools work. So I just think it's important to keep that in mind. But that's why we're having to do this. We had to do training. It's just been a while since the tools we use on a day-to-day basis have really changed.
And do you think tools like gamification, like QDOS badges and also the bunch ball stuff, now that's part of what people can deploy into connections, then do you think that's made a difference to how easy it is to get users to adopt?
I think it's certainly a factor that can help, especially when you're first implementing it and keeping it keeping it accepted within the organization. What I think is really important is that it's not about the tooling, it's about making a social culture where people are actually stimulated to work together, and connections as a tool is really great for that. But sometimes the first step isn't even getting a full-blown social platform, but really starting to look at your company and how you can work differently and how people can become a stakeholder in their own processes and help change that and be more active on it. And then when you're reaching that goal of getting people to think like that, then implementing a social platform can really benefit that process.
I think it's really about accepting diversity, and not just diversity in how people look or what people do in their free time, but diversity of thought and diversity of opinion. If the people inside your organization are not comfortable saying what they think and sharing their ideas in a conference room, just implementing some new tool is not going to make them comfortable. So really the first step is saying, look, I know in the past it was sort of, you know, my way or the highway, but we're really trying to rethink how we do business. The economy is going through this big change. We want to think about things differently. You have to create a culture where the organization really is open to different opinions, and then implementing the tools and having people understand how to use them will help. But you can put in whatever tool you like, and if people know, oh, if you don't say what the company's doing is perfect, you're not going to be around long, doesn't matter what tool you implement. So it really is around creating a culture where sharing is okay.
And it sometimes starts also with even as simple things like implementing same time. I mean, we've got customers that really hold back on same time because they're afraid of the effect of people being able to connect anybody within the organization. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's really like the first step of going social, is just to get them to use same time and then realizing the benefits of that and going forward into a full-blown social platform.
And Simon, did you...
I didn't. I've actually got a use case on this, and in our instance, for example, we've been battling for the last 5 years. So we implemented Connections back in 2007. We were one of the first ones to actually take the big jump, and it's all about getting the mass adoption with people understanding the technology, finding the use case, and finding what they really see as the value of using this tool. But the big shift for us has actually been open leadership and having a leader come into a company who can see the value of these tools and actually start using the tools to actually spread the message and change the culture of an organization by what I would call open leadership and belief that you need to do things different. And if you have it doing it two ways, it's A, the mass underneath understanding it and can see a business benefit, but also the leadership saying, this is the way that we're going to communicate in the future. We're not going to use email all the time. We're going to do things differently. And guys, look at me doing these things. It's a big, big shift, and it's a big shift that lots of companies are going to. And, you know, we're seeing the benefit now. We're seeing a marked adoption of the tools, and it's not just because people see the need to go in there to see what the latest update is. They're going in there because they see business value, and that is a big, big push forward and a big challenge for everybody.
You need to be, or sometimes you just need to start small. You need to look at an organization. And for instance, organizations that send out weekly sales reports to their sales consultants and tell them like, okay, well, what if you don't just send out the mails with the sales report, but put it up somewhere where everybody can see it, everybody can respond right there, come up with ideas and have an option of promoting those ideas into actual actions. Then you make it interactive, and then you make it really visible to a customer what the benefits could be of doing this and becoming a social business.
I've got customers as well that are also thinking about implementing that for their newsletters that they usually email out. They're now not going to email out their newsletters. They're going to create a blog or a wiki with the newsletters in, and let people comment on the ideas that are in the blog and think of better ways to do things for the company.
You know, just building on what I said then, a new CEO coming to the organisation, and his message yesterday was what we need to do is to build trust among people and look at the possibility of change through the use of social tools. And that is a big change, especially in the university environment as well, whereby this isn't always seen as the thing to be doing. But if you've got a leader who's pushing like that and is willing to blog and also take comments on a blog, that is the sort of leadership which companies now need to address and really take advantage of.
My dad was a VP of what at the time was a Fortune 500 company. Some of you guys have heard this story before. But he used to really hold management consultants in great disdain because he said all management consultants did was go around to the line level employees that were out on the factory floor, out in the plant, and get all of their ideas and collect it in a format, in a pretty report, and with language that an executive could understand. He said if the managers would just go and talk to their people, they could save all this money on management consultants. Not to say that they don't add some value from time to time, but in that scenario, if you can listen to your people directly through these tools, however you choose to do it, and really be open to the feedback you're getting, it will change the way you do business for the better.
And it adds to the value of the information, because a lot of organizations are still playing something like the telephone game, actually, where people sit in a circle and everybody just passes through a message and then see what the message is at the end of the circle, and it usually turns out to be totally different. So if you look at management styles within a lot of companies, what happens is the big boss tells something to his management layer just below him, who tell it to their layer just below them, and then downwards towards the big organization. And the same goes for questions. So if somebody within that bottom layer has a question, it goes up one level, and maybe a second level, and gets answered, but only the people in that stream will actually see what the answer is, and all the other people won't even know that that question was asked and that answer was given. So by using social tools and actually interacting directly with everybody and just putting a message, for instance, on a social platform, allowing people to respond to it and to actually interact with it, means that the questions that get asked are answered much more directly, and they are added as information into the system, so everybody else gets to see it as well.
That's true, not just from the top down, but also from the bottom up. Yeah.
That's what I mean with the questioning.
Yeah.
I mean the questioning from bottom up.
Yeah. Because a lot of times it's the employees with the least power and the least voice.
The ones that have the best ideas.
Yeah, yeah, because it's the salespeople and the customer service reps and the support people that are talking to the customers and know what the issues are and know what the fix is and just aren't empowered to make the change. So, and a lot of these senior level executives are paying someone to go out and let's do a survey of our customers. Well, just ask the salespeople. They know what the customers complain about every day. So the more we can free up the channels of communication, the better.
It's a huge, huge culture thing. Working at the university, which I'm sure Simon will appreciate, is that there is just such a different contrast between how the people on the floor think and how the academic staff think, to how the senior management think, to how the people that run the departments think. And it was a crazy, crazy mash of different cultures and different ways of working. And if everybody would just talk to each other, and social tools is the way to do that, then the ideas that need to be spoken out loud would just flow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting that information out for people to realise the great ideas that people in the organisation have.
So here's a question for you then, all of you. We're talking about this thing as if it's something very new and very different, social, and yet something I hear quite regularly from particularly long-termers within the Lotus community is that this is just collaboration.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing's changed. It's just collaboration tools as we had with team rooms, 10 years ago, and we've had in various different technologies along the line. Do you see it as being something different, or do you just see it as being more the same but a different kind of wrapper?
Same song, different verse.
It's just packaged and distributed in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got the web, we've got web 2.0, for want of a, it's a terrible term, but for want of a better thing, it just makes the way that we can hand out this tooling, for want of a better word. I often hear connections particularly called a Swiss Army knife. It's got a bit of everything. It may not be the perfect tool for the job, but it's got enough
of everything to get you going with what you need. Mm-hmm. And because it's packaged in a way and you can roll it out as one thing and it's got everything you need in one place, and it's kind of simple. I mean, I can appreciate that to the standard Domino administrator, it's probably not the easiest thing to implement, but it's not that hard. You can just get it up and running in a couple of days, and it has got everything you could possibly need to empower your users, your management, everything, everyone, to be social within your organisation.
I think another thing that's really important is that, yes, in the old days we did have collaboration and we do a lot of actually what we now call social business. The problem was that it was all siloed. It was all different applications that made it possible. So you had forums that would do things and maybe
a team room that would do something else.
But it's all siloed and it's all separated from each other. And with social business, I think a big factor is that you're really trying to integrate everything and make it one big social business platform that you're using and that you're tapping into by other applications.
I'll answer your question, but I've also got something else, and it relates to a big piece of news this week, which was the proposed Yammer purchase by Microsoft. And we're here this week or tomorrow to talk about connections with the Dublin Labs, etc. And one of the interesting comments I heard about why Yammer is being bought by Microsoft is that it really opens up the Microsoft market to the external marketplace, in that it allows people who can use Yammer-type tools to actually get the information which is held inside an organization. And that is a big shift in what Microsoft do at the moment, because if you've got SharePoint, for example, you need a dedicated VPN to get into the organization to see your... So Yammer will be a big shift for the Microsoft tools. And the big challenge to IBM is how they will really move the connections instance to be multi-tenanted and allow us to collaborate with potential customers, customers who want to look at things. And if you look at a university example we're looking at, is how do we collaborate with potential students who are not members of the university but want to find out about things in the university and want to find out things about in connections. How do potential employees collaborate with students who are inside an environment such as connections? How do students who have left the university collaborate, etc.? So how do you open up connections to be multi-tenanted but allow the security to be kept without adding on top of it a complicated environment such as Portal? And I think if you look at what Microsoft done with Yammer, it's going to be interesting to see what IBM do with connections and how they try to move in that direction. And I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see.
So I don't know if I answered, but there we go. This is actually a question for Simon. Can you elaborate a little bit on why that's an issue now? Because one thing that I will hear back from people is, well, they have a username and a password. Why can't you just move them from the student community to the graduate community? Can you talk a little bit about what the challenges are of managing different groups, even if they are logged into connections?
It's not really about managing different groups. It's about managing someone's ID and what they can see within connections if they're not a trusted member of the organization. So at the moment, for example, people use Facebook, and you're not going to stop people using Facebook. The information is out there in Facebook. If you want to bring that inside your organization, you may want to share some of that information with people who are not in your organization. So how do you make sure that you're sharing parts of the information with trusted individuals and not letting them see everything? So you really bring the team place concept with insider connections and sharing just a community and community information with people you invite into a community. Now, if you do that right now, someone can see everybody's profile, they can see lots of information which you may not want to share. So you want to actually streamline it down and just maybe collaborate with inside a community, with inside a box, but also collaborate across boxes. So collaborate with organizations who don't have connections, but you can invite them into a space, do what you want to do, close it down, but they're there and they're doing stuff. And at the moment, that is impossible.
What we really need is a quicker style granularity for security, because with quicker, you can obviously have your LDAP directory with everybody that's trusted, but you can also add external users. Now, that's the big thing that we're missing at the moment with connections. And when we get that and the granularity of the different types of security around the community types, that would be a massive, massive, massive bonus.
And also the cloud. I mean, you need to be able to to link your internal systems to a cloud solution so that you can actually differentiate between which users you're going to let directly on your own server, opposed to your external parties or your external contractors or your external customers that you don't want to be on your internal server but would like to be, for instance, in a cloud solution. Yeah. And then exchange limited data between the two systems so to make sure that they don't get access to any of the other data.
It almost needs to be like a domino replica of connections communities. So you could have a public, or for want of a better word, or closed granular security community available to external sources somewhere outside your organization. If we had that, it would be the perfect solution.
Why is it not an acceptable solution just to put the external people on, say, IBM's cloud and the internal people on your on-prem solution?
One password, ease of use, and so you can invite a person into a space, let them collaborate in that space, and then maybe say, okay, your collaboration is done, here we go. But you keep that information that they've collaborated on inside your organization. It's not out there everywhere else. And it's there for the future as well. And the big problem I see with Facebook is great, but the information isn't kept within the organization. The information is lost. The big thing with tools such as Connections is that the information is there for other people to see later. And it's for people to see within the organisation. Yeah.
And I think IBM were very shrewd in coming up with Social Business as a brand last year, in that, yeah, we're talking about Enterprise 2.0 and collaboration and so on, which to me had always been about the internal group of users. And yes, you did collaborate with people outside, but it's been very narrow use cases. Whereas I think what Social Business represents is actually the organisation and the people within it being social with other businesses and with people outside the organisation. And I think at the moment there is kind of a disconnect between the vision of Social Business and actually what can be done today with the tools that we have. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, Simon, that the acquisition of Yammo, if it does go ahead, and I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but if it does, that is a really big push by Microsoft to actually take what they now, I think, recognise as being failing social software in SharePoint. It's great for certain use cases, but it's most definitely not a social tool in the way we think about with Connections, and making it social and making it work with the outside web as well. And I think it's been very interesting in IBM's acquisition trail that they've been on over the last, you know, 5 years or so. It's been analytics companies, it's been big data companies. They've actually acquired very few organizations that would fit into the social business bracket. Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do next in terms of whether they do go out and make a big acquisition that would rival Yammer, for example, or whether they'll buy some smaller companies and bring that functionality in, or whether they'll just carry on pushing, you know, the organic growth of Connections as we move forward.
I think they feel like they already have a solution. And you could say, yes, they do, or no, they don't, or that's the way to grow, or that's not the way to grow. But I don't see a lot of focus on that. I think it's because they feel like, well, we've already got that box checked. Let's move on to a different area.
You know, you see it all other places, such as retail. I know that you're doing something next week, Stuart, around the retail space, etc.
Yeah.
And this is to allow externals to actually collaborate inside a space. And at the moment, in my view, Connections doesn't allow that. And it just allows other tools to creep into the organisation. Unless this is solved, it's going to carry on.
There needs to be a definite focus on integration. Definite. I've always been into integrating. I know there's a lot of talk around social commerce. Me being a former huge commerce person, I'm really interested to see how Connections is going to work with WebSphere Commerce in the future, because I think that is going to be a massive, massive way forward for the tooling. It would just be really interesting to see how and where it goes.
And that's not to be, you know, kind of doom and gloom. I agree with you, by the way, about commerce. But, yeah, not to be doom and gloom, because I think what all of us here are about is passion for this product. That's why we're giving up our time to run this event. I also think IBM's doing some great things around some of the OAuth and the, you know, integration around, you know, those technologies. I think, is it open social? Yeah, that's how you'd kind of sum those up. And I think they are making a real effort and investment in terms of bringing in some of those open standards to make integration easier. I think it's just all of us kind of want to be there this year rather than next year or the year after. And I think, yeah, that's probably, you know, part of the reason why we just want to see it kind of accelerate.
So one of the things I want to ask you guys, how do you think about this? But when you looked at software traditionally, you looked at the users as users, mm-hmm. and users was just one role, effectively. And the user usually represented the persons or the people within the company. But social business and the whole way we nowadays work the roles kind of changed, and it's not just about the company or the external persons or anything. People are working together. Contractors are working much more directly with their customers, and that's an important relation. And what you want to do is you want to get that into your tooling. So you want to start differentiating between roles within your tooling as well. If there's a way of excluding or including roles quite easily, that would be great. I mean, if I could, for instance, create a role within connections and say, this is an excluded user, which means that they only get access to things that they're actively added to, and they don't get access to everything that's public, because you don't want that. That would be great, because that would solve a lot of the problems of getting external people in. But right now, if you add somebody to the environment,
they've got everything. They have access to everything.
Yeah. So that's really maybe a different way of thinking of don't seeing the user as just a single user. User has different roles, different moments within the life cycle, and maybe we should focus a bit more on that as well.
And I'm very much against, you know, really nailing down policies, as people tend to do with Notes and Domino particularly, so you begin to start preventing users from doing stuff. I think, you know, there has to be a real kind of intelligent way of analysing what do users need, allowing them to do as much as they possibly can within those roles, but also preventing them from doing stuff that you don't want them to do. And so one of the use cases we're talking to a particular customer about right now is in terms of users being able to create only public or restricted communities, but not private ones. But that level of kind of granularity just isn't in the product right now. And I think it's going to be interesting to see over time whether IBM makes that more granular level of access possible. Because I can see, as you look at some of these open social media sites like LinkedIn and so on, those kind of functionality is there in some of those sites. And it's going to be interesting to see whether IBM feels they can narrow down on that.
And just to pick up on what you said earlier is, yeah, we definitely don't want to come across as negative on connections. We all have put a lot of personal time and a lot of our work time into putting this conference together and evangelizing connections. And I think everybody here is a champion.
Yay!
Yay. So obviously, podcast. Obviously we care about the products. But Mary Kay Ash used to say, a laurel rested upon quickly wilts. So I think the message is, yes, it's lovely that we have this product that was very, very early to market. It's gotten all this recognition from IDC. That's phenomenal. But you can't get comfortable. A lot of the competitors are smaller organizations, very agile, very nimble. And so we as a community and IBM as the vendor has to definitely stay on their toes, keep moving, keep pushing forward. We've got Connections 4 coming. Hopefully we'll see some subsequent releases with things that clients have asked for right behind there. So we're definitely not being negative. We're just pushing, always.
We're in kind of a unique position because probably out of all the vendors, we are the only users that have direct contact with the people that decide what's going into the product, and I think we're really lucky on that.
Because
we all got good relationships with the product managers. Lou Benitez and Suzanne Livingston both are really active members of our community, mm-hmm. and they do listen to what, you know, us as champions and what our users and our customers say. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we wouldn't have that with Google and Microsoft, and although things might be a bit slow because IBM is a bit of a big lumbering beast, we are That was my nice way of saying
it. A lumbering beast with a heart.
It is a lumbering beast with a heart. We're probably in the most unique position we could be in because not all vendors have that.
That's true.
We wouldn't be able to phone Google up. I wouldn't be able to DM a product manager at Google and go, "Ooh, I'm having trouble with this. How do I fix it?"
If I do that to Louis Benitez, if you're a company or if you're a customer.
If I send a direct message to Luis Benitez because I'm having a particular issue, he will do his best to try and find the answer and get back to me. I wouldn't get that with any other vendor.
Yeah. True.
Very true.
Yeah. The answer might be no.
Yeah. But we're lucky to have them because they are willing to help us.
Mm-hmm. So that's also part of being a social business.
Exactly.
And the fact that they're not just seeing us as just the customers.
Faceless customers, contracts
or anything, but the fact that they're really engaging in conversation with us as a community and as business partners or as customers to see how they can make the products better and how we can benefit from it.
Yeah. And to be fair, right, IBM is a huge organization. Some people are very far along the social spectrum. Some are very far back and don't even know what we're talking about. And not all of the customers have the kind of access that we have. Part of the reason we have access to those people is because we show up at the events. We pay to get ourselves to Lotusphere, and you know, we make a commitment. We work to build the relationships. So not everybody in IBM is equally accessible. Not everybody outside IBM has built the relationships. But the fact that they are at least listening, and we always, as a partner, we always try to advocate for the customers that we talk to that don't have those relationships. And I know all of you do the same thing.
It's also, you know, kudos to, you know, I'll say it again, kudos. I should care.
Kudos,
I could say
kudos.
To Sandy as well, Sandy Carter today, because they had the Dashes social business session in London, and we were all travelling or looking to the tweets, etc. But one thing Sandy did do is really mention quite a lot of the customer success stories, what customers were doing with the tools, as well as what some of the partners were doing, to really show that this is an active community, a vibrant community, and things are moving forward. And you know, they're taking it from the VP level, they're showing what's happening, and that's another big plus as well. And one thing we should, as a community, recognise. So.
The other thing I think is worth mentioning is that no matter what stage we think the connections is at, whether we think it's the perfect product or not quite, or you know, it still has a way to go, there is no time like the present to be deploying this stuff. You know, is that because becoming a social business, getting more social, is such a, you know, big part culture, it's adoption, it's technology, it's all of those things. Actually, technology is just a small portion, so it's about starting that transition and therefore deploying connections or deploying any of the other tools that are out there. It's just get them done, get them in, and then start the bigger project of how you move towards that.
And it's back to adoption.
Oh! Well, absolutely. And I know a lot of our customers come from a Domino background. And first off, I think a lot of people that come from a Domino background don't really get the whole Web 2.0 thing because they don't understand what everybody's so excited about. They, you know, if they want to easily publish something to the web, they've been doing that for 15 or 20 years. But it really allows non-technical people to get to that. And the other thing I was going to say about the Domino base is now is also a great time because files and profiles are free. And I know that entitlement is not breaking news, but different people pick up different episodes of the podcast, so it's worth mentioning again.
And activities are free as well.
Oh, yeah. Is that for quicker customers? Or I don't know.
If you're a Domino customer, you get files, profiles, and activities.
Okay.
That's part of your entitlement.
Talk to your business partner.
Talk to your business partner.
And they're great plugins to actually leverage those products into your Lotus Notes environment.
Absolutely.
Which makes it really fun.
It's also probably worth mentioning that there's a lot of free stuff out there that you can have to plug in as well. There's a lot of free widgets available that you can plug into your notes sidebar to get connections information in there. There's a lot of free widgets that you can download and install in your connections environment, which will allow you extra access. There's also quite a vibrant partner community now that are actually writing third-party products which will integrate your connections environment with other pieces of your internal systems.
Speaking of kudos,
the kudos badges from ISW is probably the biggest one at the moment. You know, if you want gamifications for your connection system, they're the guys to speak to. So there's many.
Or speak to Femco, or speak to me.
Or
speak to Lisa. So let's quickly go around the table. We're obviously running a user group tomorrow, a user group devoted to connections, but there are many other user groups. So, Simon, why don't you name a user group you're thinking about maybe later in the year?
I'm thinking about UK Lug because we're hosting it in Cardiff. So, woohoo! And that's going to be quite interesting because, you know, lots of good guys are going to be coming there to see in Cardiff and hopefully Doctor Who as well. Yeah, I'm going to dress up as a Dalek.
Yeah. And Torchwood.
I'm going to pay money for that.
To dress up.
I'm sure that's the reason Ed Brill is coming back over to take part in that conference. He loves his Doctor Who. Fantastic. So that's September kind of time frame, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. I better get this right now. September the 3rd and September the 4th, because I know it's that, because it's my daughter's birthday on September the 5th. And if I get that wrong, I'm in deep, deep doo-doo.
And Femke, you were involved in NL Lug earlier on this year, weren't you, and B Lug as well. Are there any user groups you're going to be going to in the rest of the year?
Well, a big one that for me is coming up is, of course, the next Social Connections user group, which will be hosted in the Netherlands. So that's really an important one, and we're hoping to do that at the end of November, which is great, and we're going to host that probably in Amsterdam. So keep an eye on the blogs for more details on that.
Fantastic. Definitely looking forward to that one. It's going to be good. And Sharon, how about you? Any user groups you know about?
Well, I'm quite looking forward to UK Lug, and hopefully I'll be able to go, because I have put an abstract in with the crazy Steve McDonough on WebSphere and Kinect. I know, Paul Mooney says I need my head read.
Will it have subtitles for the Americans?
Possibly. We're hoping that it will get accepted for WebSphere for Domino people, to help out all those Domino people that want to implement connections. But I'm also actually looking forward to Lotusphere next year, and I really hope that I get to go, because I think it's going to be a good one. There's going to be lots going on, especially with Connections 4. Hopefully we'll be out by then, but I'm not holding my breath.
Track managers, you need to pick that session. We need to see that. And Lisa, how about you?
We have MWLUG coming up shortly. It's in August. Ask Google for the exact dates. I think it's the 17th through the 19th. But MWLUG is, at least as of this moment, as far as I'm aware, unique amongst the Lotus user groups in that it does have a dedicated social track, which is not just for developers or admins. It's really focused at line of business folks from a broad variety of backgrounds. And we attended last year and helped organize it. And it was a very unique approach, because in addition to not just being technical, it also was not just IBM focused. So they had some folks from, again, outside the yellow bubble, as we say, someone that was coming from a healthcare background that had an analytics product that analyzes, does sentiment analysis on comments. When you check out of the hospital and you write in the comments, they do analysis around that. So he talked a little bit about his product and how they're doing some social things in healthcare. And then there was also somebody from Shawnimals. Actually, it was Sean from Shawnimals. So you can Google that and get more information. But again, totally outside of the Lotus space, but talked about how he had used social media to really promote and grow a very small business. And we also had a keynote speaker from LinkedIn that talked about a lot of things that I didn't know LinkedIn did. They actually were aware of an acquisition that I believe it was Apple had done before it was publicly announced, just because they had run the analytics to see that, you know what, a lot of people from company X are changing their job title to company Y. We think that company might have been acquired. So it was really a fascinating keynote. So they do a fantastic job of really bringing in some diverse viewpoints, and I'll be speaking there too. Kara Francis, that I mentioned earlier from US Bank, and I are going to be doing a version of what Sharon and I will be presenting on. So if you're interested in user adoption and you didn't make it to Ireland, definitely come to Pittsburgh in August.
Can I just add one more thing about tomorrow's? You know, we're here for the user conference, but it really wouldn't be possible without the sponsors as well.
Yeah.
So we've got IBM, Sogeti, Time to Act, Connections 101, Team Studio, and Collaboration Matters all sponsoring the event. And it really is making sure that users can come to this event free of charge, can talk to other users, can talk to IBM, to other BPs, etc., exchange information. This time we've got over 100 attendees here. Yeah. So it really is down to the sponsors for allowing us to actually get this on and move it forward. So if there's anybody out there who would like to be a sponsor of the next one, please, please get in touch with us.
Absolutely. We really couldn't do it without sponsors, and they've been an amazing help, helping us organise as well as just providing funding. So kudos to all those guys. You know, we'll make sure they're featured in the show notes. Lisa?
And will there be a link in the show notes for sponsors of the next Social Connection?
We will make sure there is. Thank you, Lisa. And a quick question for Sharon. Sharon, now you are unique in this group. You are unique because you have not only an Apple MacBook Pro, but you also only run one operating system on it, which isn't one from Apple.
That's right.
So, as somebody who runs a Winbook, what did you think of the Microsoft Surface announcement this week? Next time you go to replace your iPad, can you see yourself buying a Microsoft Surface?
No. I love my iPad, I love my iPod, and I love my iPhone. But I do a lot of work on Windows, and although I think the MacBook is incredibly sexy, it's small, it's light, I love the keyboard, its design, I like the inside of it, I just did not get on with Lion. So I installed Windows on it, and I'm sorry, geeks, please don't kill me.
No, they're fanboys.
Sorry. Fanboys, please don't lynch me. I am a girl that's technical, I'm
She's
different.
She's doing pretty good.
Yeah, you know. I can work an iSeries, for Christ's sake. Sorry, hang on. Sorry, Steve Pitcher. IBM I.
You should start a user group for Winbook users.
Ooh.
I
I'm sure there must
you'd
be
get
more
five than... people along at least.
It's more of a support group, isn't it?
I think it is a support group, yeah.
Darren would join your club.
Would he? Yeah. See, Darren knows. He's
got
a
Windows
real geek.
On a VM. Yeah.
See, I didn't think I spend so much time in a VM. I thought, do you know what? What's the point of booting up Lion just to log into a VM? So once I worked out that it had an actual CD player in it, which took me 4 months, I nuked it.
But it's so user-friendly. It's so intuitive.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. But for somebody that's used an iSeries, sorry, an IBM i for all their life, and Windows, a MacBook is not intuitive.
I keep hitting that eject button, thinking it's the delete.
Yes, me too. Do you know what?
But it's got an eject icon on it.
Shh. The worst thing is when I switch from my MacBook, because I'm so used to now using the MacBook keyboard, when I switch to my PC, I don't use the delete button. I use function and shift to you to try and backspace to use the delete.
Why don't you just right click?
One other thing we should put in the show notes is we've got a guy coming tomorrow to do some character chores. I can't even say that word.
Yeah, you can say that now because it's been a secret.
Yeah, so he's going to be coming to do the character chores. And what we should put in the show notes is the character chores so that we can... We can really see who has got the worst one, because I think mine is going to be a bad one.
Where will those be available?
They'll be available tomorrow, once we've had them done. We should put them in the show notes.
On the interwebs somewhere, on some site,
check
somewhere.
Local internet.
Well, the Stuart now hosts, he's got a new domain, really coming for it.
Caricatures.com.
He probably already owns the domain.
Okay, I think we're probably coming to the end of this slightly strange podcast. No, it's been fantastic. It's some really good views shared, and it's going to be pretty good day tomorrow. And we'll be capturing some other interviews and so on from around Social Connections, and they'll be spliced in as well. So let's go around the table tips. That's a challenge. Come on, folks. Simon's got one, and we'll go around the table after
that.
If
you ever go to a user conference and Stuart McIntyre is booking your hotel, make sure you book in before him.
It wasn't my fault, that's the honest truth.
The couch is looking nice.
Okay, we'll skip the rest of the tips.
No, I've
got a tip. Okay, Lisa.
If you hear Sharon Bellamy on This Week in Lotus, listen for Lisa Duke giggling in the background. Because didn't Darren do some sort of old-style analytics?
Analysis.
Yeah. And it said that every time you were on, I was on, or most of the time when you were on, I was on.
Yeah, we hunt in a pack.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Twins.
Yeah.
Their laughs are pretty similar, I must say. Okay, we're going to draw this to a close because we're going to do some interviews tomorrow as well and splice those in. Let's go around the table quickly. How do people find you, Simon?
Lying on a sofa in Dublin because I've got no bed. No. I'm simply Simon on Twitter, which is simply S1MON.
Come on,
Sharon.
Guys.
Dear, oh dear. I'm Social Shazza pretty much everywhere, and where I'm not Social Shazza, I'm Dilf Technical.
And why is that? I'm not going to ask that. And what's your blog?
My blog is socialshazza.com, and it has Disney stuff on it, so I apologise in advance.
Well, I'm addicted.
And you can find me by leaving the Atlanta airport, head north on 7585. When you get to the split, head towards the 75 Marietta.
And on the interwebs?
At Lisa Duke on Twitter, about.me/Lisa Duke.
And Femke, how do people find you?
Well, I'm on most social networks, including Twitter and Facebook, as Femke Goodhart. It's going to be in the show notes if you don't know how it's spelled, so just check it over there. And I've got my own blog as well, also on the femkegoodhart.com. So
awesome. Thank you, Femke. Thank you to all of you for taking part in this very special show. I'm Stuart McIntyre. You can find me at Stuart McIntyre on Twitter or at the blog at blog.collaborationmatters.com. Look out for all the coverage of Social Connections tomorrow, and hope you enjoyed this podcast. Until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
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 All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
I am joined by Femke Goodhart. Hi there, Femke.
Hi there, Stuart.
Why are you in Dublin?
Good question.
Sorry, no.
It's just...
Going really smooth, good introduction.
Everybody was doing so good when they thought you were recording, and then once you started, everybody's like,
I was getting nervous when you started putting the thing out. Sorry.
That always happens. That needs to be another blooper.
Oh my god, I got too many.
Until Stuart started pulling his thing out, things were going well.
You cannot put that on a blooper screen.
I got to tweet that.
I can't spell my own name.
That was funny when you couldn't spell your own name.
Yeah, well,
the vowels are crazy. Yeah, try spelling your name in Dutch. Me?
I totally draw a blank when you start interviewing me.
Shoot her again.
Yeah, well, pass over.
No, do you first.
So Femke, tell me why you're in Dublin.
I'll give you a hint. You're here for social connections.
I really am. Should we
run out some cue cards?
So Femke, tell. Go on then, let's try it again.
Oh, it's awesome. Try again.
You've been recording for 2.5 minutes, Sophia.
You're going to get like an hour.
You have more bloopers than you are.
So Femke, tell me why you're in Dublin.
To Sharon.
So Sharon. look out for all the coverage of Social Connections tomorrow, and hope you enjoyed this podcast. Until next week, this was This Week in Latest. Bye.
Bye.
All opinions expressed may or may not be those of the people that are talking, if they're talking. If they're not talking, it's definitely not their opinion.
You do that so well.